family picture frames.
Who are the people in yours? I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy. In This Together is a podcast where we discuss topics related to today's family. We also go behind the scenes to share stories from our own crooked picture frame.
And we interview guests to discover how their stories can give us insight on becoming families who live, love, and lead well.
Because you're not alone. We're in this together. This episode of the In This Together podcast is brought to you by Lifeway Women. For more information about all the events Lifeway Women has to offer, visit lifeway.com/womensevents.
Welcome back, Kelly Bagwell. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I would love to get into your story. You have twin 18-year-old boys, and we have already done some episodes talking about this topic with families from in the early years. We've talked about it with a family kind of in the middle school years. You're on the other side of this, but not only are you on the other side, are your boys getting ready to graduate, but you also are a high school teacher. You're a certified counselor, and you've been a teacher working with special needs kids within the school system. So you've got a lot of different angles here as a mom, as a high school teacher, but also as a counselor. Invite us into your story a little bit, and then we want to talk in this episode about the educational piece, how parents can really navigate the educational piece, as well as the therapeutic part of it and the counseling aspect of it. But begin by inviting us into your story a bit.
Okay. Like you said, I have twin 18-year-old boys. They are both on the autism spectrum. They were diagnosed at the age of 4. One of my sons, Cooper, his needs are more obvious than my other son, James. So I had to really become knowledgeable in this subject. They were autistic before the tidal wave, and there was very little available about their disability, about they are high functioning, so they are both very smart. The school system wanted for them to just start school and let's see how they do. But I knew that was like a disaster waiting to happen because they were already struggling in preschool. And so I had to be mama bear to make sure that they got all of the support that they needed to start school, because I didn't want them to start school and fail, because I knew that, you know, this was setting a precedent for them as to, you know, how they would like school at all. You know,
right.
Got to know the Board of Education on a first name basis.
Wow.
I became, you know, annoying, the squeaky wheel. I had to become my boy's advocate because there wasn't anything existing at the time to support kids like my boys. They entered school. Cooper got, you know, a self-contained class, which is what he needed, and was slowly integrated into a regular ed classroom as he could handle it. My other son, who can camouflage his need, the whole twin thing is a little bit different. It has a whole different dynamic just because, well, James, he's naturally more nurturing, and so he would just naturally kind of give up anything he had to make Cooper better. And we wanted to make sure that James got what he needed too. So I had to, you know, fight for every support that they got to make their school successful. So middle school, we pulled them out of public school because as the years progressed, the social piece was getting bigger and bigger, which was making it harder and harder for them. And we knew that middle school was, I mean, just for any typical child, it's a social experiment.
Yes. No one wants to go back and relive their middle school years.
yes, that's right. Exactly. So we pulled them out and put them in a private school for kids with disabilities. And they spent their middle school years there in a smaller classroom environment with, you know, teachers that were equipped to know what they needed. I taught at an elementary school when they were in elementary school, and then when they moved to high school, well, before that, actually, while they were in middle school, it was just a God thing that I was able to be transferred to the high school and had gotten my special ed certification while I was teaching elementary school. So I was the special ed inclusion classroom and worked with co-teachers and things like that. And then I got to move to the high school and got to see really that high school kids are exactly the same as elementary school kids. They're just bigger bodies. So, anyway, so I got to learn the special ed side of it from a high school angle. And then, I mean, God just orchestrated the whole thing, because then my boys were ready to come to the high school, and I already knew the SPED team here and knew that it was great and they were going to be in good hands. And so they moved for their 10th, 11th, and 12th grade years. They moved here to the high school where I teach.
Looking back on it as a mom, looking back on it also as a teacher, what do you see as the, what do you see looking back, the lessons that you've learned? Like, as a mom, especially in those early years, you're advocating for you on behalf of your boys, you're beginning to see things, you're becoming a mama bear, you're getting to know the board members by name. What are one or two key lessons that you learned that you can share with other parents today as maybe their kids are entering into the school, as they're frustrated because they can't figure out how to advocate for their kids? Share with us what you've learned and what you can help other parents kind of how to navigate this.
First, I'd say that the parent is the number one advocate. People in the school system, of course, are looking at it from the angle of education. You know, how can this child be educated in the classroom? You know, what are their needs in the classroom? How can they pass tests? Stuff like that. But a parent is looking at the health of the whole child, not just how they can be educated.
Yeah, and that's like, Kelly, just you saying that, that's so powerful though, because I think so many of us have been raised, you know, even in an education system, which is like, sit in your seat, listen and obey. And we're taught to just play our part and not be the squeaky wheel, not to speak up, not to ruffle feathers. And I know personally for me, I mean, people pleasing is in my history. That's where I struggle anyway. So to be that annoying parent, I mean, just to be that annoying woman is so, it's genuinely hard for me. So can you speak to that? Like how difficult that was of a role to step into? Because I think you're making it, I mean, you had to be that, and it probably didn't even feel comfortable. You probably didn't even like having, you know, to exhibit those personality characteristics. You want to be the one who the teachers love and they love your kids, and instead you're the one who's poking the bear.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it. I mean, it, of course, is never fun. I mean, you feel like you're making enemies. I don't know if it's this way in every mother, but when I had kids, something instinctual happened in me, and God really grew in me this mama bear. I can't explain it any other way.
What are some of the resources? You said you had done quite a bit of research as a mom, because you felt empty. You felt like there was no one else advocating, and you did some research on this. What are some of the resources you can point parents to that you found? We can put those in the show notes.
I've got, like now, Autism Speaks. There's a free website that describes, you know, the first 100 days, what to do, your child and an IEP, you know, advocating for your child. I mean, there's so many resources now that are out there to show. I mean, I just pulled up the webpage. It's autismspeaks.org. It's step one, step two, step three. I mean, so it's really walking through special education services, you know, your child's rights in public education, early intervention. I mean, all these things, that is a wealth of knowledge. We were involved with the Marcus Autism Center here in Atlanta. They had lots of resources for us at the time. There are resources out there. Autismspeaks.org is probably the main one.
What about to the therapy side of it? You guys have obviously navigated the therapy side of it. What does it look like to find a good therapist? and how do you navigate, how, right. how did you guys navigate that journey?
It was really just a God thing, I think. I mean, we needed as much help as we could find. I mean, we didn't make enough money to provide every service that we wanted. And so it was equipping the teacher to help my child, to help the child, my child, understand the teacher better. Like every year during pre-planning, we would go to an empty building and wander the building, find their classroom. I would email the teacher to ask, can we please come and be your helper for the day? Because I wanted my child's teacher to see James or Cooper in a calm environment. Here's what my child looks like when he's not stressed out, when he's not overwhelmed, when he's not frustrated. So they found their desk. They found, you know, that they got to see what it smelled like, what the cafeteria was, what the, you know what I'm saying? So they can file away all this information so that on the first day of school, when it is so overwhelming, the teacher then can recognize, wow, that he's really stressed out because that's not how he acted when he was calm.
You know, that's super helpful. Even that idea there of having the counselor give you tips and working in conjunction with the counselor, working in conjunction with the teachers to understand each individual child uniquely for who they are. I think this goes beyond just even, you know, special needs kids, but for every child
to
truly understand their unique personality, how they learn, what is their learning style, and for teachers to just not put all kids in one lump sum as if, you know, they're all created, you know, the exact same. You know, God created us in his image and each one of us uniquely with unique passions and learning styles. And I think just even those pieces there that you're describing are super helpful to help parents navigate this and have relationships with the teachers. I think what you're saying, and I think this is so helpful, is really having a relationship with the school board, having a relationship with the administrators, having a relationship, building those relationships with the teachers, where you're advocates. You're an advocate for your child, but you're also coming alongside on behalf of your child to build a relationship with those who influence him or her on a regular basis, and understanding
right.
those individual needs at a very practical level. I think that
right.
that's super helpful to see how educationally and therapeutically it comes together in such a way that champions the heart of the child.
Kelly, I picked up on one thing you were saying earlier, and you're talking about when your boys were in therapy and you were spending, you know, every last penny on their private therapy. Talk to us about how that has impacted your family, because that is a very real stressor, drain. How did that impact, how does that impact your family?
Deeply. Yeah, I mean, it's everything, because everybody in the family, quote, pays for what the child needs.
Yeah.
Siblings get a back seat, you know, that your marriage, I mean, the stress on a marriage is incredible. And of course we couldn't afford marriage counseling because we're investing it all in our kids.
Wow.
And so we struggled so much and still do. I mean, it's not like we hurdled it, you know, every stage has a different struggle. You know, I'm like, Lord, what were you thinking that this is, you didn't handle this well.
That's so honest. And I hope those, you know, parents listening hear in you a little bit of themselves, a little bit of it's okay. And a little bit of, I am not the only one, because this has, the road you're walking is so, it is so challenging. And I understand, you know, for all the parents listening, if those parenting a child with special needs or those not, and just wanting to understand special needs more, I mean, we will all face some bumps in the road, but there are some that are just walking a much more rocky road. And how can those of us who are, you know, in relationship with the Kellys, with you know, a mom who feels inadequate, a mom, maybe it's a single mom, maybe it's a mom parenting a special needs child or a child going through cancer treatments or, you know, something where it just feels like they're drowning. How can we come alongside you?
I mean, I'll be honest. There have been very few people that have been willing to do that for us because we are messy. We didn't get invited over to people's houses. We, you know, didn't go on many dates because we couldn't leave them. So for people to come alongside, I mean, I would say don't be frightened off.
That's good, yeah.
I mean, it, because it is messy.
Yeah.
And these parents... any parent that it's messy needs to know that no matter how messy it is, that, you know, they may not get it. I mean, people, Jeff and I, my husband and I have this joke, you know, there's this world of people that get it, and then there's the rest of the world. You know, they're like two groups, and we like look at each other and go, oh, they get it. You know, like somebody that's been there or has.
Totally. Yeah. I understood that most.
Yeah, and those that live in a bubble. Sorry, what?
I understood that most whenever I lost my dad, just the sense of when you lose your father, as a son losing his father, like I never really understood that before when someone said they lost their father. Now I have a whole new experience of it. And and I think it's important too that, and I think you've probably found this, that as you navigate the journey, that people just, God has given and dare I say gifted us with the kids that we've had, with the kids that we have, the situations we have, the circumstances we have, as a gift for His kingdom, for His glory, for His for His reign and rule and purpose. And sometimes we don't fully understand every situation, or someone might not understand what it's like to journey, having lost their dad, fully understand the journey I've been on, and that's okay. You know, they're called to a different, you know, understanding of something else. But surrounding ourselves with those people who do understand or who are willing to understand. And I think that's really been the heart of this podcast series, is to really, for those who live in this, on a daily basis and who need the support and are in those struggles, to learn how do we advocate for our kids? How do we advocate for our marriage? How do we advocate for our family? But then also to surround ourselves with those who are willing to listen and willing to invite us in and who want to teach us and champion our kids, especially championing our kids, you know, and showing our kids how to be ministers of the gospel, showing our kids, no matter where they are, what their disabilities are, what their learning styles are. You know, it used to be that ADHD was the, you know, you were just an outcast, you know, and you're never going to be anything. Some of my most successful friends on the planet were failures in school, but are incredibly successful in the world because of their ADHD. It's just learning how to champion those traits and those qualities within us. And you're an advocate for your kids, and I just really appreciate the way that you have pointed that out in terms of how you champion your kids, how you advocated for your kids. And then also how parents can continue to do that with their own kids.
Yeah, it's really given me a heart for helping parents understand and see how they can advocate, and helping to equip them with what they need to do that, and how to come alongside somebody that's in it and go, you know, look, I've been there. I know I'm in it too. I mean, it's exhausting. I mean, you know, it's not easy, you know, but this is what God has given me. Mm-hmm. And it, like I said, it makes me lean hard on God.
When I think at the end of the day, that's our ultimate, that's where our hope lies. And then that's where our strength lies. And no matter our circumstances, that hope is what we cling to.
Well, and the hope exactly. I mean, that even when other people couldn't stand the mess, that God was with me in it. You know, that God didn't leave no matter how messy it was. And I was in, I mean, I got in yelling matches with God over it. you know, on my front porch. I mean, we live in the country. Thank goodness people would think I was crazy. But letting God have it because I didn't agree, or, you know, it was really hard or whatever. And, you know, what I found in it is that no matter how hard it was, God didn't leave. God was with me, and God was okay with me being mad about it. God just wanted the relationship with me. And, you know, and the autism that my boys have, they have such a pure faith because they don't question. I mean, I was paying the bills one night and didn't have enough and was getting choked up and, you know, went to put Cooper to bed. And, you know, he's like, "Mommy, your eyes are wet. What's the matter?" And I just said, "You know, some days are hard, buddy." You know, he saw that I was trying to pay the bills and whatever. And he said, "Mom, you know, God's going to provide, right?"
Wow.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, God says he's going to provide for us. He loves us.
I love seeing that childlike faith and being able to champion that, those aspects of our kids. And man, what a very cool, what a smile that you can put in your face, even in the midst of the exhaustion of it all.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, "You're right, buddy."
Yeah.
You know, thank you. It was just like, you know, he walloped me upside the head. Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
That's exactly right. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for being on the program with us and for just sharing your journey, sharing what the journey God has you guys on. And it'll be fun to see how your boys, what your boys do here once they graduate school. And what God has for them. I know that'll be a whole new season for you as you talk about different seasons and the strengths and the weaknesses of every season and the joys and the ups and downs, but it'll be really cool to see them do that. So thank you so much for being on.
And thanks for your encouragement and just your honesty of the difficulty. And I really hope that this connects with the other parents listening, that they just hear they are not alone, that they hear the struggle in you and in families that are walking similar roads. And just to know, you know, that there are people out there who want to be a support. And I think we all just need to be encouraged to step into the messy and not be afraid.
And remember, if you have a podcast question or topic you want to cover, if today's episode brought any ideas up for you or any questions that you have, go to inthistogetherpodcast.com and submit a question, submit your topic. We would love to hear from you as we journey together. So thank you again for joining us, Kelly.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you guys next week. Check out inthistogetherpodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button right there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us, and they help people learn about the podcast. And we would love, too, if you'd find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy, or our website, drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and enjoy the moment.